Yes, as Satir said, I am Jared Showalter. I'm the director of the James Ozick House Pregnancy Resource Center. And I tell you, it's been a challenge to get here today. And just as I was coming in the parking lot, I did a whole power slide like I was in a slip and slide or something across the parking lot, kind of bruised my arm up, tore some buttons off my shirt. But I'm here. So if you notice mud on my shirt, that's what happened. But I do wash my clothing. But yes, so, let's just pray because I had it's a lot going on the last couple of 24 hours. So Jesus, we thank you for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you. And Lord, I just pray that you would just be with me as I share about your ministry here in this area and the pregnancy center. Lord, we just ask that you would speak through me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the James Ozick House, our mission is to be the alternative by championing life before and after pregnancy. What that means is just coming alongside these young moms, first of all, presenting abstinence as before pregnancy, but then also during pregnancy or after pregnancy, coming alongside these moms, being that support system. And this year's theme for our centers is cultivating a culture of life, just coming around and being that support for these moms. We are located at 314 South 2nd Street in Oakland. We opened up, this ministry opened up 34 years ago. Actually, yesterday was our 34-year anniversary for opening up. So it's pretty cool how God's been using the ministry all these years. We're a faith-based nonprofit ministry. We want to show the love of Jesus to these moms and dads, just coming alongside of them and being there for them in their circumstance, helping point them to Jesus. We primarily serve pregnant women, but we serve, you know, moms that already have their child too, up to a certain age. So Nellie Ashby started the ministry, and she was a forerunner of the ministry for about 31 years and pioneered four different locations. She's amazing what she did. Some days I wonder how she did it. But we have four locations, as Satir said, you know, one in Oakland, Kingwood, Kaiser, and then Petersburg. So they're pretty far apart. I figured we serve about nine different counties if we look at it all together. Oakland started in 1989, Kaiser was in 1991, Kingwood in 95, and then Petersburg we opened in 2008. So just a little bit of who I am. So I was born and raised in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Ephrata area, if you're familiar with that area. But so I grew up there as a PK, pastor's son, but I did a mission trip, and that's where I met my lovely wife, Crystal. And so through that, we did our discipleship training school through YWAM. If you ever heard of the organization YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And we met in Mexico. She's originally from Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so we met in Mexico, and about 3 years later, we ended up getting married. And as you can see, we multiplied. So we have seven children, and we're expecting baby number eight. And we have six girls now, but we have seven coming. So we'll have seven girls and one boy. So we're a little outnumbered. So in our first year of marriage, my wife and I, we just were praying and just seeking the Lord, because she was in missions, and I always had ministry on my heart. And so we were doing different things. So the first year of marriage, we're like, let's pray, you know, what God wants to use us as a team. And so as we were praying, we really felt God calling us to full-time ministry. And so we actually, in 2000, and I should get this right. Wow. Okay. 2013, we went full-time ministry, so about 10 years ago, and we went to serve with YWAM in West Virginia, which is a location right here in Kaiser. And so we were serving with them for about 7 years, and as we were working with them, we got to know the pregnancy center because we would host youth groups and then we'd come paint the fence and, you know, paint the stuff and pull weeds or whatever. And so through that, I got to know the ministry of the James Isaac House and Nellie and then James Real, who was the president of the board. And so I got to meet them and get to know them. And through that, and then we heard about, you know, Nellie's declining health issue. And so we just, my wife and I were praying about it, and we felt led that, you know, God was calling us to take over the ministry. And so in September of 2020, we took over the ministry of the James Isaac House as the executive director. So with that, I've always heard people say when you're in leadership, it's nothing really changes. The only thing changes is you get a big bullseye on the back of your back. And so the enemy wasn't happy with us. And we have seen some spiritual warfare in that. Shortly after we took over the ministry, our son, 2-year-old son, Uriah, right there, he was 2 at the time. He will be 5 here shortly. But he was diagnosed with leukemia, lymphoblast, ALL. And so we went through that season of our life. When we found out, it was very hard to hear that your 2-year-old son has cancer and leukemia. And it was a tough time for us. But at that time, we knew we had family. We had people who left everything, came, supported us, and came around us. And we had that support system. A lot of times, the people that come to our center, they don't have that kind of support. And so that's kind of our mission, is to be that alternative, to be that support system for these moms. A lot of times they find themselves in hardship, domestic violence, unplanned pregnancy, child illness, financial stress. Other times they just want to come and learn, like, what am I going to be experiencing here now that I'm pregnant, you know, and try to ease their mind of that. You know, what we offer to our clients, all our services free, confidential, advocate mentorship, just coming alongside these moms. A lot of times the moms, they want to come and just sit and chat. They want someone to listen to them and just have someone that's an adult talking to them. Material assistance, we are able to assist. We have lots of clothing that we give out and lots of other things that we can give out to our women. Abortion education, if we have an abortion-minded client come into our center, we give them accurate information on the abortion process and what it is and what to expect, and we try to offer the alternatives of adoption or parenting. We have an ultrasound machine at the Oakland Center, but because of our great practices in our area, Cornerstone being one of them and Wellspring, they're very pro-life practices. And so we have a great relationship with them. So if we have that abortion mind client, we can get them into, they've offered their service to help us to where we can just get them in there for an ultrasound. And we know there's a pro-life ultrasound technician performing the ultrasound. So we have that great relationship. And so for me, I just felt like the ministry to undergo having a nurse and trying to find all that, it just makes more sense to just partner with Cornerstone Wellsprings. So we've been blessed with them and that relationship. Adoption referrals, we are not an adoption agency. We used to do adoptions, but because of just conflict of interest and now times have changed, we no longer do that. We refer to other agencies for that. We have a 24-hour hotline, pregnancy and parenting classes. We say we have all our TV. We updated all our centers with TVs and we stream our classes now. So we have a list of classes that these moms can take, you know, birth, pregnancy, what to expect, first year, toddler, parenting, co-parenting, life skills, healing from abuse, fatherhood lessons, and just coming alongside of them and giving these classes. And then through those classes, they can earn coupons and earn baby furniture, household items. As you saw, that one picture back had a sectional. We were able to bless a lot of these moms with a lot of household items that they gives them incentive to come in and learn. And then also they can we get blessed to be able to give them. And we get a lot of this stuff from World Vision. We partner with World Vision in Philippi, West Virginia, where they have a storehouse. And, you know, we get all that stuff for free. So that way we're able to give these girls a good incentive to come. So just one testimony. When I first came into the center, I was a new mom and had just recently been diagnosed with postpartum depression. I was stressed and unsure how to be a good mom for my child. My own mom had passed away. The ladies at the James Isaac House really helped me to learn how to bond and care for my son. They made me feel like I wasn't alone. I'm so thankful for their friendship. So other things we do, outreach. We had the father-daughter gala, which you guys bless us. We're able to do that here in your fellowship hall. We do a diaper drive, Garrettland events. We try to go to those events, the community baby shower. We have our fall banquet coming up October 27th, which, you know, last year one of our ladies worked up the courage to share her story for those who attended our banquet last year. She explained how her husband at the time assaulted her while she was 8 months pregnant. This caused her to go into preterm labor. Thankfully, they were able to stop her labor. Shortly after being discharged from the hospital, she came to the James Isaac House. She expressed gratitude for the baby shower we hosted for her, for helping her with the baby items she needed, and having someone to talk to with frequently as she worked through many aspects of her difficult situation. So, you know, what are ways that you guys can help us? One is pray. We just need prayer, a lot of prayer. And we appreciate you guys being part of our team. You could host a baby shower. A lot of these moms, they don't have that support. And so a baby shower for them is always encouraging to them, just showing support. And championing life in that way. You could participate in our baby campaign. I think Jackie said the mission board here agreed to do that, and there's babies bottles in the foyer, so on your way out, if you wanted to grab one, you could participate, fill that up, and then in about a month or so, or set it on your dresser, put your change in there, and bring it back in about a month. We also accept checks and other things in those baby bottles, just saying. volunteer, you know, if you are able and willing to volunteer at our centers, we're always in need of volunteers, just different areas around the building there. We could use handyman, we could do, you know, different things. So we can always use people. Once again, financially, Tony Evans said it pretty well. The message of the gospel is free, but ministry is expensive. And so this is true. And so you guys do donate financially, and we thank you for that. And we need that support system so that we can do what we do. And also pray some more. Pray. As you heard, I don't know if you guys have heard. Hopefully all of you have heard about this. But this is the so-called new abortion clinic coming to our town. So this is along the 220, just outside of Crescent Town, between like the Bel Air and American Woodmark and ATK, like in between those two is where this property is. This is the new home. So what we know about these people is they are a pregnancy or abortion clinic from Charleston, West Virginia. And thankfully, Roe was overturned last year. We celebrated that about a week ago. We celebrated the overturning of Roe. And so with that, that put it back into the state's jurisdiction. And so the West Virginia had banned abortions. And so this clinic was shut down. We know that they did about 1,000 abortions a year. And so they were shut down. And their goal is to bring their center to Maryland. And so they're jumping right across the border and hoping that they can open up there. By God's grace, they won't open or they won't stay long if they are. But so we are, yeah, hopefully that won't happen. But they're hoping to open. They announced they're opening this month at the end of this month. So it could be next week, it could be the following week. But we're hoping that we can delay that as much as possible. We have people that work like along 220 commute past there texting us saying, hey, you know, see someone there. So we're like, we'll call them and say, hey, you know, you're working here. One time I drove by, there was a painting company parked in the parking lot and they were painting. So I called the number on the van. I said, hey, do you guys know you're painting an abortion clinic? And the guy's like, I had no clue. I just saw it come across my desk, gave them an estimate, and now they're doing the job. I was like, he's like, oh man, I'm in the middle of it. What do I do? I was like, well, kick the paint bucket over and walk out. But I don't know if he took my thing, but we do know at their grand opening, they did say the construction has been delayed. So we're hoping that's what it was. But yeah, the Susan B. Anthony organization said that since Roe was overturned, there has been about 200,000 babies saved last year just in, you know, for the effect of overturning Roe and the Dobbs decision. So we just praise God for that. What we know is this is Katie Quinones. I think I said that right there and there. They were actually at the Garrett County Health Department health fair just recently, advertising for their services. So, yeah, she is the director of this abortion clinic in Charleston, and she's going to also be running the clinic up here. They had their grand opening June 5th. They kept it hush-hush. They did, so the different media outlets that we follow to try and stay on tab or what they're doing, they didn't want to reveal it. But we were able to find out through a certain avenue that they were having this grand opening. That guy there is David Troon, you know, senator or state representative. But they had a lot of people there, but majority of these people were media outlets like the Washington Post, the Baltimore Sun. A lot of the news media were there. But since we got word of it, we decided to show up for it too. And so we had a small group of us there, as you can see here. We had some signs made up, and we were standing right here in the mulch bed. So because we were standing here, they were kind of upset and thought that was their property, but didn't know that we do our research. And so we actually found out that that's the property line. That curb right there is the property line. So technically that's state highway easement. And so we were able to stand there, but when the cops came, they're like, eh, it kind of looks like their property. Just, we're like, we'll respect you. We'll stand on the shoulder, but know that we know we're right. But for the respect of the officers, we just decided we would just stand along the road there. But yeah, so we were able to kind of rein in on their party a little bit. They weren't happy for sure. But we were able to just be a pro-life presence there and made it into some of their newspapers. So that was good. So what can you guys do? So when this all kind of started, I was like, we need just a way to communicate. Like, it's just in the last 10 years of ministry, it's just been so hard. Different churches do different events, and just so hard to pull everyone out or just to communicate to everyone. And so I just created this Facebook group called Abortion Free Allegheny. So if you have Facebook, which we know Facebook is, you know, whatever, but it's a great way to communicate. So if you do have Facebook, you know, look up Abortion Free Allegheny, answer the questions, maybe even just say you heard Jared talk or whatever, and then because we vet who comes in, and it just saves me from stalking your Facebook profile to let you in. But yeah, so if you want to do that, that just keeps you up to date on what we're doing. If we find out they're open, we're going to start, you know, putting it up there. We didn't put on there the grand opening just because we were afraid of having a lot of people show up, and we kind of needed a dry run ourselves. So like, you know, the cops are going to get called, so we need to know how it would act, you know, who's, you know, to do it. So we didn't want to have like an accident, you know, people don't respect the road or whatever. So we just kind of kept small. But moving forward, we're going to need people to be available. So, you know, if you can free your calendar up for the end of this month or even in the future, just, you know, come out. Just 40, so pregnant abortion clinics that have people out front praying or just standing there do 40% less business. So right away, it's by us just standing there praying, we can cut their bottom dollar 40%. Most businesses can't sustain that, and they are in a business, as we know. We created yard signs, so if you want to help me, my plan is to put them along 220, so that way when the girls are driving towards the clinic, they could see, the one says abortionprocedures.com, which is a great website to advertise or show these moms what an abortion is. You know, just curiosity sometimes can get a hold of them, so that's kind of why I created that way. So they can drive towards the clinic, and then on the other side of it, on the way home, is abortion pill reversal. A lot of people don't know this, but the abortion pill process can be reversed. So how the abortion pill, 50% of abortions are done this way. They go in, they get the first pill. They'll either take it there or wait till they get home, but they take the first pill, and a lot of times moms will regret it. And so they want to change their mind, and they can. And so basically what the first pill does is it blocks progesterone, which is the nutrient that feeds the baby. So when they take the first pill, it blocks the mom from making progesterone and feeding the baby. So the baby basically starves within 24 to 72 hours. And then they take the second pill 72 hours later, and then that passes the baby. And a lot of times, majority of these are done at home in their bathroom, and they flush the baby down the toilet. And that's how 50% of abortions are done. It's crazy. But there's an alternative. And if they take the first pill, they can be prescribed progesterone through the network, abortionpillreversal.com. There's a hotline, they can call it. There's providers on there that offer, prescribe it, and they can prescribe this progesterone. They go to CVS, get it, take it, and they can save the life. And I think there's been over 3,000 babies saved so far just from doing that. A lot of people don't know that process is available, and so getting that word out, that's why I put it on a sign, just so these moms can know. So I need help putting those signs out. I didn't go door to door knocking on people like, hey, you got a nice lawn. Could you put a yard sign in here for me? Or just ask them if they're pro-life or not. So that's something. But the Heartbeat International, you know, says a lot of times we can think, well, the abortion issues, that's not close to home. But according to the Heartbeat International, it shows that 4 out of 10 women that get an abortion claim they regularly attend church at least once a month. You know, this is affecting your congregation whether we realize it or not. And so it's important for us to be proactive in sharing on this. Who's going to help her? That's kind of the big question is like, oh, Roe's overturned. Now we're going to have women dying, and who's going to come alongside to help them? Well, we've been doing it for 34 years, so we're going to continue to do that, you know. We still need people to come and be those, come alongside of these moms. And what we can do, you know, pray about possibly opening up your own home. Well, I know sometimes some of us can have extra rooms in our house. Last year, there was a mom that she had some circumstances happen to her, and so she was without her kids over the holidays. So my wife and I, we had her stay with us through Thanksgiving to the New Year, and just, you know, having her in our home and just being able to minister to her, we've seen a tremendous change in her life and being able to disciple her. And sometimes the best discipleship happens around our dining room table in our own homes. And so inviting these moms to yourself. Now, I can't say that's our policy as the James Isaac House, so that might just be the Christian hat that you wear that day, taking someone in your home. But we would love to hook someone up with you, you know, to do that and to love on these moms. Another way is we need to be ready to adopt, you know. These moms, there's babies that need homes. Now, there's a false stigma on this because a lot of times people think, oh, well, the abortions, they're going to flood the foster system. They're going to flood the adoption system. You know, we're going to have all these babies. Well, technically, actually, for every newborn baby that's born into this world that's up for adoption, a newborn baby that is adopted, there's about 65 on average families that want to adopt that baby. So there's not really a problem there. And even the local, you know, Child Protective Service people would say they have no problem adopting a newborn baby because there's a lot of families that are willing to adopt. So, you know, but it's if you, you know, God lays it on your heart, you know, that's something. And even to come down to the abortion mill and stand there and say, I will adopt your child, you know, could deter a mom from killing their baby. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. You know, we need to be ready. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to recognize the enemy. And I'm an avid deer hunter. I love to hunt. And one of the first things I've learned at Hunter Safety Course is identify your target. And they're like, make sure you know where you're shooting, what you're shooting, and even beyond what you're shooting. And I've also coached archery at Kaiser High School before. And, you know, I always told my students, aim small, miss small, you know. You know, if you aim small, but identify your target, know what you're going to shoot at. Ephesians 6:10 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's easy to get angry at the people performing these abortions, but we need to know our battle is not against Women's Health of Maryland and their staff. It is the devil and his demonic force. We need to stop looking at flesh and blood and realize that we are not, they are not the enemy. Joe Biden's not the enemy. We need to put our aim and our target on who it is if we're going to have an impact. So how do we combat the enemy? One way, by being a reflection of Jesus in our communities. We need to cultivate a culture that celebrates life. So what does that look like? Basically, if you see a mom at the grocery store, instead of rolling your eyes when their kids are throwing tantrums, come smile at her and say, you're doing a good job. It's tough. Come along, give her a hug, say, you know, how can I help you? It's cultivating a culture of life. You know, a pro-life Supreme Court is not just going to fix all the problems. It's going to take a grassroots efforts of you and me. We are responsible for our communities. We need to change the mindset of our communities and churches that they will see babies as a blessing like the Bible says they are, and not a hindrance on our dreams or careers. You know, one time my wife, I think it was when we were saying we were expecting baby number 7 or 6, and six. And you know, we were at a restaurant, and she told the lady, you know, that we're, and this lady came up behind her and pinched her on the elbow and said, you need to get fixed. And my wife turned around and said, I ain't broke. And so, you know, just the mindset of our culture has influenced us that we need to, that kids are not a blessing, and children are a blessing. Yes, it's hard, but they are a blessing. And I think the people that get this the best are grandparents. I love watching my parents now that we have kids, and you know, my parents are grandparents to them, and just seeing how they love on them. And just, you know, most grandparents, you go to a nursing home and you take children, they're not like, oh, get them out of here. You know, they love children, they love it. And so creating that atmosphere, you know, of life and cultivating that culture of life, you know, just like a thermostat. I don't know where your thermostat's on the wall here, right there. You know, that thermostat, that sets the temperature in the room. A thermometer will read the temperature in the room. So we need to be proactive, not reactive. We need to be the thermostat that sets the tone and sets that culture in our communities. We need to be the ones that are championing life and being that representative of Christ in our communities and sharing that. Another way to combat the enemy is to target the strongholds in our own life that we've allowed the enemy to have. So lust is one of the roots sins that affects why a woman might seek out an abortion. Maybe she's having an affair, or the guy's having an affair and pays for one. A prostitute, sex outside of marriage, or lust from a man leads him to rape an innocent woman. Lust leads to destruction, and it never you can never fulfill it. We need to make sure our camps are free from this stronghold if we're going to combat it. You know, maybe some of you here struggle with lust. I did. When I was 11, I was introduced to porn, and that started a cycle in my life that, you know, I was always starving for more. And I, you know, the recent video out, it was in theaters this week. Losing my mind. Sound of Freedom. Yes. Some of you watched it. But, you know, lust will lead people to do terrible things, even abortion. And, you know, the abortion is a after effect of what lust has caused. And so the root issue, you know, when you're controlled by lust, as I was for 14 years of my life, I was enslaved to this. And so I kept it secret for 9 years of my life. Finally, I, you know, told someone and seeked out help in this area of my life. But I struggled with it. And, you know, what we keep secret is what enslaves us. And finally, you know, I took those steps to be free from it. And I went to a counselor, finally, and which was a humbling process in of it all, going to tell someone you have issues. And so, but through that process, he said, you can be free from this to where you're not tempted anymore. And I was like, I didn't believe him at first. I was like, I don't know if that, yeah, right. At that time, I was so controlled by lust and just what it would make you do. You know, it keeps drawing you to more things, and it keeps drawing you to do things that you would not normally do. And it's an endless cycle, and you can't feed it enough. And it always leaves you empty and always leads to destruction. So I was in disbelief in my counselor, but I wanted more. I wanted that freedom from this. And so I call it my sidearm scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, for we walk in the flesh. We do not war against according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And for me, that scripture, just working through that, but I remember as I was going through counseling, and I remember I used to do excavating for about 9 years, and so I was driving a dump truck down the highway, and I just remember starting to lust over a woman that drove by, and in my mind, I was just starting to like, well, God forgives you. I could just, you know, I could start over, you know, whatever. You know, God's going to forgive me, and it's like I started in that moment rationalizing my sin, deeming it would be okay. And so in our struggle, we need to realize when we're starting to rationalize. And in that moment, I just prayed out this scripture. Like I just yelled at the top of my lungs, driving down the road at 65 mile an hour, just like, in the name of Jesus, no. And I just prayed out this scripture. And I said, I take every thought captive and I command it to obey the word of the Lord. And freedom just came over me. Like the Holy Spirit just, yeah, I can't explain it. God has just given me that freedom. And so it's been 13 years now that I've been free from this porn addiction, and just experiencing that is just such a blessing. God can give you free from that. And if we're going to, we need to have the sword of the Spirit. You know, the Bible is called the sword of the Spirit, and that is what can help us renew our minds. And I know you guys do Celebrate Recovery here and big on addiction, helping people out of addiction. So I love that. And it's so needed in our lives to make sure that we are free from that. If we're going to continue to fight the enemy in this area, we need to make sure our camp is free. Another way is prayer. If we're going to see freedom from the enemy, you know, enemy strategies, we need to get on our knees and pray. We need to pray together. There's power. We need to pray. Ephesians 6:18. We are to pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Another thing is power your testimony. I just shared mine, but a lot of times just sharing our testimony to people, it sends a level of accountability on you that, and it's so powerful to share what Jesus has done for us. Mark 5:8 says, as he was getting into the boat, this is Jesus had just healed the man of the demons and cast them into the pigs. And the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him, come with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in, I can't even pronounce that word, Decapolis, which is basically 10 cities in that region, how much Jesus has done for him, and everyone marveled. So this was the first missionary sent out, that Jesus, most of the people after Jesus had healed, and he's like, yeah, just be quiet, don't let everyone know, even though those people went and let everyone know. But this was the guy, Jesus said, no, go tell people what I have done. And he went and proclaimed what Jesus has done. And, you know, we all have a story. We all have a story. And we need to proclaim that. We need to tell people how Jesus has transformed our lives. And so, in closing here, I just have a story. I heard a story once about a man who was walking down a beach with a bunch of starfish were piled up on the beach. And he was going down through and picking one up and throwing it back in the ocean. Someone came along and said, you know, what's the purpose? Why are you doing this? Like, you're not going to save them all. And he said, picked one up and threw it back in the water and said, to that one, it's worth it. It means the world. And so, you know, I can't count on how many babies we have saved. I know we've had some moms that came into our center that told us, you know, I was at the abortion clinic and they didn't see my baby in the ultrasound. So now they came to us. And so we were able to be that person to support them. So, you know, I know that baby, I think probably two other babies I could think of stories where moms, they were considering abortion, but because of our help and because we came around them in the past pregnancy, they are now coming to us with their current pregnancy. So, you know, lives are being saved because of what you guys support and what you guys support us with. So you guys are part of this life-saving ministry, and we appreciate that. I'm not a trained professional. I'm just a Joe Schmo. I used to do excavating. I drove a dump truck. So God can use anyone. And so I'm not an educated person. I never did go to college, but I did ministry for 10 years now. But, you know, we just need people that are willing to answer the call, who will intercede for abortion workers, for the moms who abort their babies, that they will find healing, to pray for the James Isaac House advocates that answer the hotline, counsel the girls, for those who just come and help with general things like sorting clothing, to pray for our politicians and local officials, or get involved in more ways like giving of your time. We are in this together. Let's stand together as we combat the enemy and his schemes. Let us focus on the real target, not on flesh and blood. Will you answer the call to battle? Will you join me in this fight? So as we sing, I think there's a last song, if I remember right. You know, just if you're here and you don't even know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you haven't made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, I recommend doing that first, because that is the most important thing that you will ever do. And You know, this kind of hits home to me because just yesterday we found out that one of our church members, who she used to sit right behind us every Sunday, and she passed away yesterday because she was picking her husband up from the hospital because he was going to have surgery in his intestines, but he didn't need it because he was doing better. So they're like, you don't need the surgery. But on their way home, a tree limb fell out of the woods and hit their car, and she ended up passing away. And so you just never know. I'm like, I drove by today. I'm like, where in the... So the whole way here, I'm like watching all the tree limbs, you know, coming up, up 135. I was like, man, it's just crazy. We're not promised tomorrow or anytime, but, you know, she's in eternity. We know that, and she's rejoicing. But I just encourage you, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus, like, make that first priority in your life, because he is the one that can heal you. He can make your life new. He has made me a new creation and has transformed my life. And I am forever grateful for what he has done for me and through me. And so I just ask that you would just take him. If you are a Christian here today, I just ask that you would just take this time to just reflect on how it is that you can get involved on this issue and what it is God wants you to play your role. So thank you.